There's nothing more satisfying than finding the perfect green paint for your living room. Except maybe popping open that can of Valspar Ultra and rolling that first smooth stroke on the wall. And there's nothing more satisfying than admiring your freshly painted wall.
Ooh.
Except maybe peeling off the painter's tape to see those crisp edges. But the most satisfying part of all? Valspar Ultra's price tag, starting at $29.98 a gallon. Affordable, durable, available at Lowe's. Price varies by sheen.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Do you love true crime podcasts and true crime documentaries?
If so, you gotta check out our podcast, True Crime Obsessed, where we recap the true crime documentaries everybody's watching.
We say everything you're thinking and probably screaming at your TV.
We've been at the top of the podcast charts for almost 9 years, and we have over 400 episodes for you to check out right now.
We cover the cases everyone's talking about, and we also highlight the cases that have been underreported, overlooked, or forgotten.
With over 30,000 five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, if you've never checked out True Crime Obsessed, now's the time to give us a try.
Find True Crime Obsessed wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast with Tony Bruschi and continuing coverage of the case against Brian Koberger.
Oh, there's big things going on in the trial of Brian Koberger. What does it all mean for the future of the case? Well, we have a legal mind here that can help us break this all down. Eric Faddis, defense attorney, former prosecutor. Basically, in a nutshell, a 27-page nutshell, once it's all broken down, they're asking for a stay in the trial. They're wanting more time to go through the evidence. They say they haven't figured out their expert witnesses yet. They haven't figured out this. They haven't figured out that. The whole thing is out there. From your experience here, how can we tell the difference between a legitimate need for more time? Again, it is a death penalty case, so you really got to cross the T's and dot the I's. So I'm certainly giving that leverage here to them. And just basically a strategic delay that's just basically about running the clock, and maybe something will happen, maybe more things will leak, and then more things will have to get thrown out. I mean, what do you think is going on here in this case?
Without question, delay is a friend of the defense. And that includes delays that are legitimate and delays that might be more strategic and however you want to characterize it. And so, you know, certainly that they have some arguments, right, for the delay. Like you said, the complexity of the case, it's a quadruple homicide. It's got national attention, death penalty case. There's all sorts of experts and witnesses and investigations, everything else. That does tend to bode in favor of a continuance. On the other hand, sometimes when things, are rocky and not looking so great, some defense attorneys could just hope that like you said, there's some kind of development or there's some other thing that happens that could help them, and they need more time to look into that.
Because it's interesting, there's two things being tied here together with the defense. We need more time, and Dateline has now made this case too difficult to not have an unbiased jury. That's the argument that's being made. And maybe those pieces of evidence should be thrown out. To me, more time would give that, I guess, a louder voice or a longer opportunity for those sort of considerations to be made, or for more leaks to come out and more things to be reported on out in the public that could affect the case. Do you think they're kind of trying to bet more in that angle of what else you got, what else has been leaked out, and just hoping more gets leaked out that will then somehow work to their advantage?
Potentially, yes. You know, this isn't the first case that Dateline has covered. This is something that happens in nationally publicized cases, and you got to know that going in, and you got to be ready to navigate it. And so, you know, it could be really bad for them in terms of their additional leaks. And so I think that they have to be cautious about providing opportunities for additional bad stuff to happen in the case. The case is already really bad.
Yeah, I mean, Hippler seems to be very taking this pretty seriously, the stuff that got out to Dateline, doing an investigation internally, everybody's phone, everything. We want to see everybody who's touched this case. Who have you communicated with? They're going to try and get down to who actually made that leak. How do you think this could affect the case? I know there's rumblings out of, well, this could make some of that evidence become excluded from the case. Is there any reality to that being a possibility? I mean, they're pretty big pieces of evidence in this case. And just because the public has knowledge of them, I don't quite understand the logic that somehow this is not going to allow him to have a fair and unbiased jury, as long as they do a responsible job of picking a jury.
Yeah, you know, it reminds me of the movie Liar Liar with Jim Carrey, where he says, "Objection, Your Honor." And the judge says, "What's the ground?" And he said, "It's terribly bad for my case." Not a valid legal objection. That's not there. There is no legal mechanism by which you can try to exclude evidence because it's problematic and it may have come out in a way you didn't anticipate. Especially when we're talking about Dateline. Dateline is not a party to the case. The judge can't control what Dateline does, that kind of thing. And so I think that's kind of grasping at straws to say this evidence shouldn't come in because of how it was leaked or whatever.
Is this just another strand of spaghetti that's maybe taking a little bit longer to fall off the wall that Ann Taylor has pitched at it?
I mean, well could be, you know, that she's got a you know, bring out all the stops. She's got to do leave no stone unturned, leave no argument unasserted. And she's certainly doing that.
She's sitting in the Olive Garden kitchen with all the pasta in the world. And she's just like chucking this stuff and seeing what actually goes. Fortunately, a lot of them have been penne pasta, which just doesn't stick to a wall. So you got to go for more spaghetti, and that will work a lot better. Logistically, I mean, again, crossing the T's, dotting the I's, you really want to make sure that this is done right. You don't want to have any appellate options. And they're certainly getting it on the record right now saying, hey, we need more time. We need more time. And if they don't allow that, that certainly will be an argument that they can have on appeals if he is, in fact, convicted, assuming that he is convicted. But is there legitimacy to this? I know it's been argued, we didn't have access to this. Well, it turns out you actually did. You've been sitting here for 3 years now, having access to a lot of these things, or is there things in this case? I mean, you've seen both sides of this from a defense attorney aspect and from a prosecutor aspect. Is Ann being honest where we didn't have access to this and the court's like, yeah, you did?
You know, these factual disputes come up and sometimes it's hard to parse out exactly what happened, exactly who knew what, that kind of thing. That being said, the court does kind of have to err on the side of caution here. They do not want to give some sort of ground for appeal that they don't necessarily have to give. You know, this case has been going on for years now. It certainly has to come to trial soon. But is one trial continuance for reasons that at least appear on their face to be valid, a fair move? Probably.
Do you think that the judge will grant a continuance here? I mean, we're talking 2 months before this thing is supposed to start.
Yeah, you know, I think we're getting close to the deadline here in terms of, you know, the judge can't grant these continuances indefinitely. Mm-hmm. But here, I think the request was made significantly in advance of trial, although trial is close. And I think the judge would be smart to probably grant this one. Beyond that, though, I think we're kind of getting to a place where we got to say, hey, we're doing this thing.
Third party culprit, that's the other argument that's being made by the Koberger camp. They have to turn over. I don't know if we might be passing the deadline by the time this airs for when they have to get that to the judge. Give us an idea. How detailed does this report have to be? I mean, I know the last time they wanted the alibi, and it's he likes to look at the stars. It needs to be more than that. What exactly do they have to turn over? What sort of marks does it have to make for it to pass the sniff test of the judge?
Usually the legal standard to allow this alternative suspect evidence is that there is a direct, non-speculative connection between the alternative suspect and what happened. So it can't just be like, this neighbor lived kind of close and he's got like kind of a shady expression on his face when police are interviewing him. I think it's probably that guy. Let us argue that, Judge. No. That would be speculative. There's got to be a direct non-speculative connection. That being said, the strategy from defense would be to provide the least amount of information allowable because you don't want to show your hand more than you need to. Defense doesn't usually have disclosure obligations. Here they do, but they have to satisfy those judiciously.
They said they're going to bring one in. I mean, was that just a ploy for time or are they going to bring one in? Do you think they actually will have someone that they're going to bring to the table here?
You know, on the defense side, when you're doing defense investigation, you get leads here and there and you follow those leads and something might seem really promising in the beginning and then turn out not to be promising. Just them sort of having rumors about having this alternative suspect is the same as really bringing to the table, the courtroom table, the evidence and reports and possibly testimony required to meet the standard to argue alternative suspect. What do they have in their back pocket? They haven't had much in terms of other issues. Let's see what they have in this one.
Well, I mean, it's interesting. I mean, another case that, we're talking a lot about here, the Karen Reed case. There's the alternative suspect that's been allowed in there, despite there not being any evidence that points to these other people being alternative suspects. That felt like a little kind of loose on the rules of we're going to accuse a whole household of people of conspiring to kill a fellow cop. So how loose? I mean, it feels like the rules can be that loose over there. And we're talking about a different state, too. I mean, can they be that loose over here, too, where we can just kind of throw anything into the ether? Because in my mind, if they're going to be that loose with the rules, are they going to start trying to accuse the two surviving roommates or something? I don't know who else they would be going after or who they could possibly say had anything to do with this. And in no way am I saying the roommates had anything to do with this, but I'm just trying to figure out what are they going to try and bring to the table here?
You know, the rules can definitely be as loose in the Koberger case as they have been in Karen Reed in terms of arguing alternative suspect. And here's why. There's case law that essentially advises judges to liberally construe this standard to allow in stuff because if you prohibit an entire defense, like alternative suspect defense, because you think it's arguable whether they met the standard, I don't think they met it, we're not going to allow it. That could be that's a big ground on which cases are often reversed. So judges often err on the side of caution and say, this is kind of a close call and there's not, you know, there's kind of scant evidence of this, but there's enough direct non-speculative evidence to allow defense to at least argue, to at least have a shot. And then if the jury rejects it, they reject it.
That would be no way. I have no idea what the hell they're going to say. Obviously you don't either, but if they were to go down that road and like try and go after those two, that's not a good look either. I mean, if you're really like wanting to guarantee the death penalty for your client, that might be the one to take. I mean, already it's pretty damning, but if you're then going to try and ruin the lives even more of these two other roommates. I can't imagine that's where they're going, but I don't know. It feels like anything is possible here in this case.
You know, unless they had something really substantiated against the other roommates, and I have no evidence that they did, but just talking hypothetically, if they did, they should argue that. But you've got to be concerned about how that could rub a jury the wrong way, especially if you don't really have the goods to back it up. Because the jury's going to be on there not only for the guilt phase, but the penalty phase. And the potential penalty is death. Yeah. And if you are accusing someone's friend who lost, you know, their four friends and roommates and college mates, and like you said, making their life worse, a jury's going to, that's going to be in their mind when they're deciding, hey, does this person deserve the ultimate penalty?
Yeah.
Craving nonstop true crime updates? Press subscribe now and get the latest cases, analysis, and expert commentary delivered straight to your feed. Only from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Do you love true crime podcasts and true crime documentaries?
If so, you gotta check out our podcast, True Crime Obsessed, where we recap the true crime documentaries everybody's watching.
We say everything you're thinking and probably screaming at your TV.
We've been at the top of the podcast charts for almost 9 years, and we have over 400 episodes for you to check out right now.
We cover the cases everyone's talking about, and we also highlight the cases that have been underreported, overlooked, or forgotten.
With over 30,000 five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, if you've never checked out True Crime Obsessed, now's the time to give us a try.
Find True Crime Obsessed wherever you get your podcasts.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I had gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
With a $5 meal deal with new McValue, you pick a McDouble or a McChicken, then get a small fry, a small drink, and a four-piece McNuggets. That's a lot of McDonald's for not a lot of money.
Prices and participation may vary. McDouble meal $6 in some markets for a limited time only.
In the news this week, the Have I Got News For You podcast is back for another series.
Brought to you by some of the team behind the show, we'll take you through the big stories of the week when the TV show can't.
From Kemi Badenoch to Keir Starmer, Donald Trump to Nigel Farage, we'll make sure to give every story and subject the complete lack of respect it deserves.
We also cover all the sillier stories you've missed that don't make the front page and put your news knowledge to the test with our missing words round.
Listen and subscribe to In the News This Week, the Have I Got News For You podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you love true crime podcasts and true crime documentaries?
If so, you gotta check out our podcast, True Crime Obsessed, where we recap the true crime documentaries everybody's watching.
We say everything you're thinking and probably screaming at your TV.
We've been at the top of the podcast charts for almost 9 years, and we have over 400 episodes for you to check out right now.
We cover the cases everyone's talking about, and we also highlight the cases that have been underreported, overlooked, or forgotten.
With over 30,000 five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, if you've never checked out True Crime Obsessed, now's the time to give us a try.
Find True Crime Obsessed wherever you get your podcasts. Love true crime podcasts and true crime documentaries?
If so, you gotta check out our podcast, True Crime Obsessed, where we recap the true crime documentaries everybody's watching.
We say everything you're thinking and probably screaming at your TV.
We've been at the top of the podcast charts for almost 9 years, and we have over 400 episodes for you to check out right now.
We cover the cases everyone's talking about, and we also highlight the cases that have been underreported, overlooked, or forgotten.
With over 30,000 five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, if you've never checked out True Crime Obsessed, now's the time to give us a try.
Find True Crime Obsessed wherever you get your podcasts. Love true crime podcasts and true crime documentaries?
If so, you gotta check out our podcast, True Crime Obsessed, where we recap the true crime documentaries everybody's watching.
We say everything you're thinking and probably screaming at your TV.
We've been at the top of the podcast charts for almost 9 years, and we have over 400 episodes for you to check out right now.
We cover the cases everyone's talking about, and we also highlight the cases that have been underreported, overlooked, or forgotten.
With over 30,000 five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, if you've never checked out True Crime Obsessed, now's the time to give us a try.
Find True Crime Obsessed wherever you get your podcasts.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Do you love true crime podcasts and true crime documentaries?
If so, you gotta check out our podcast, True Crime Obsessed, where we recap the true crime documentaries everybody's watching.
We say everything you're thinking and probably screaming at your TV.
We've been at the top of the podcast charts for almost 9 years, and we have over 400 episodes for you to check out right now.
We cover the cases everyone's talking about, and we also highlight the cases that have been underreported, overlooked, or forgotten.
With over 30,000 five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, if you've never checked out True Crime Obsessed, now's the time to give us a try.
Find True Crime Obsessed wherever you get your podcasts.